Amen. Thank you, Donna. Good morning. And we're true Baptists. We fellowship. Don't matter what's going on, do we? But we're so glad to see you this morning. We want to welcome you to Central Baptist Church. Look around. Give somebody a wave that said, this is Christmas week, and I am ready to go. And looking forward to spending time with family and friends as we go forward and begin get ready to enter a new year. I know some people will say, well, let's get through Christmas first. We know how that goes. So I know it's going to be a busy week for a lot of folks, but we're so glad that you're here today. If you're part of our online audience, we welcome you as well. As always, if you have any questions, our very own Dr. John Cazito over here will be happy to answer those to you. You can just send him a little message along with a post there, and if he doesn't have the answer for you, I promise he'll get it for you. We love him to death. And we're so glad that he is your connection with us here live as we broadcast today's service. So again, we're so grateful and thankful for each and every one of you. And we look forward to what the Lord's going to speak into each and every one of our hearts today through his word. Let's bow for a word of prayer as we begin our time today. Father, as we come to you once again, we're grateful and thankful that you have brought us to this place. Lord, we realize that with so much activity that goes on and takes place that we can often be drawn away from the true reason why we celebrate the Christmas season. But Lord, today I'm grateful and thankful that as we gather in your house, we do so with the right heart and the right spirit of Christmas. And Father, that is to celebrate the birth of our Savior and your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that today that in all that is said and done, you might truly be honored, glorified, and magnified. Lord, we pray that if there truly is one that doesn't know you, that's within the sound of my voice today, that as they hear the word and the Holy Spirit prompts their heart, that today truly would be the day they would give their life to you. And that this Christmas may be a truly blessed one in their lives, different than it's ever been before. So again, we ask that you would just guard and guide everything that we do. Help us as we lift you up, Lord, that you might draw all men unto you. And we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
From the Great Commission in Matthew 28 until the Great Multitude in Revelation 7, God invites us to join him in the great pursuit. In a world filled with diverse cultures, languages, and people, we are unified in his mission. His mission. Since 1845, IMB missionaries have embarked on a journey to share the gospel, make disciples, and plant churches in places where Jesus is not yet known.
But the task is monumental. Billions are still unreached, living without the hope and love of Christ. In 2023, over 879,000 people heard the gospel, 141,000 people believed, and 116,000 were baptized. Yet, so many more still wait for their chance to hear and believe. Lostness is not just a statistic. It's an eternal reality for billions of souls. But amidst the challenges, there's hope. The Great Pursuit is a faithful journey fueled by love, compassion, and the unwavering belief in the transformative power of the gospel. Stories of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration inspire us to press on. Our vision is rooted in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. A multitude from every corner of the world united in worshiping Jesus Christ. You are called to play your part in this vision. Whether you pray fervently, give generously, go boldly, or send faithfully, your role is vital in the great pursuit. Join us in solving the greatest problem in the world, lostness. Together, we spread the message of hope and salvation to every nation, tribe, and tongue. This is the Great Pursuit.
Morning. Morning. As we turn to 87 for Joy to the World, let me say thank you to Sandy and the team for last week and for all those who attended the cantata and all those who brought food for the fellowship. We had a great evening. Thank you. Now please stand with me as we sing Joy to the World, 87.
Amen. Thank you, Helen and April. Nothing does quite like singing to put you in the heart and in the mood and in the spirit. Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's gospel in chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn on over to Luke's gospel chapter 2. As a reminder, you saw the video. I didn't introduce it this time. I wanted to catch you off guard. But now we're still in the process of collecting the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that goes for missions, worldwide missions outside of Canada, United States, and Mexico. That's what I used to call it foreign missions. I know a lot of you still do, but 100% of that offering goes to Lottie Moon and to our International Mission Board to keep our missionaries out there on the field and doing the work of the Lord. We have a goal. I believe our goal is $10,000 that we want to collect to be able to send there. We've always been a mission-minded church, and we'll kind of keep you posted. But also keep in mind that year-end, if you want to make a year-end contribution, it's almost over because the year is just about done. So we're also, office will be closed Tuesday and Wednesday, and you'll hear that again in just a moment, but just so that you get your plans and get everything figured, we look forward to reaching that goal for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Today we're going to investigate a passage that has echoed throughout history. Most people would expect to hear this particular passage when they would show up at church on a Christmas Sunday morning, but this is the story that has echoed throughout the world, and that is the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to reflect a little bit this morning on Luke's gospel in chapter 2, and we're going to look at the significance and a couple of things. Hopefully, this is not something that is new to you, but I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will put something new and afresh in your heart as we look at our scripture once again. So look with me, if you would, Luke's gospel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told by the shepherds." Let's pray together. Father, as we once again come into your presence, and Lord, as we read through this story, we place ourselves in the midst of this story, and what an exciting time that it must have been for all involved. Lord, we realize that there were probably a roller coaster of emotions, Lord, joy, sadness, Lord, there were probably tears of what was the future would hold for the Christ child, as well as the joys and laughters of just being able to love on the Christ child. Now, Lord, today I pray that you will help us to have our minds open, have our hearts set upon you in this place today as we hear from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know your word doesn't return void, so we ask that it would spring forth new life and new hope in each heart of those who hear. And Lord, I ask that you would bless me as your messenger for these few moments that we will spend together today in your word, that you might truly be lifted up and that you might truly draw all men unto you. Bless, Father, our time in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this particular passage, again, one that shouldn't be too familiar or too unfamiliar to each of us. This should be very familiar. But there are a couple of things that we look at that we want to point out. One of the things I want us to see in today's scripture is that there was God's divine plan at work. Now, this is not often something that you will hear preached about or told when it comes to this story. You see, in the opening verses of our text today, we see the orchestration of essentially a global event. There was a Roman census that was going to take place, and that is what brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. You know, this seemingly bureaucratic move acts to fulfill the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in the city of David. The way what happened would be pretty much if that's where your lineage was from, you would have to travel back to that particular place to be a part of this census, this registering, this tax, whatever you may want to call it. But as we look at it in this particular passage, we know that there was a journey that Joseph and Mary had to make to be a part of this this taxing, this census, or whatever you may want to call it at that particular point. Now, we have known that for years and years prior, it had been prophesied that there would be a coming Messiah, and that Messiah would be born where? In Bethlehem, okay? Joseph and Mary weren't there. But how would the Messiah be born there if they weren't there? They had to get there some way. So God had a plan. The plan was, as part of that census, that they would be called back essentially to Bethlehem because that's where the Messiah would be born. I always like to look at it like this. I have never been much of an artist, and there have been some things that I've thought have been pretty cool in my life and in my day, and mosaic was one of those. And most of y'all understand what that is, the little tiles where you take the little tiles, and a good artist can make it mean something. For me, it doesn't look like anything except a bunch of tiles glued onto a thing. But an artist can make that really, really look good. So I want you to consider that for a moment, if you can get that picture in your mind, this intricate design. But each tiny piece of tile or stone or whatever the material might be seems so insignificant until it's placed in that particular mosaic, and it reveals a grand design. And so God also weaves events of history to complete his divine masterpiece. There is nothing that has ever taken place that has been by accident. I have said this many, many times, and particularly the world in which we live today, regardless of what happens, regardless of what you think about when it comes down to policy or politics or anything else, God is still in control, period. Do you hear me on that? This is not outside of God's hand. This did not, nothing that has happened, whether it's politically, socially, or anything else, nothing has happened that's outside of God's knowing about it. And here's what we need to always understand. God is still in control. You also have to understand that even God has used ungodly people to bring about his will over history and over time. Think about that for a moment. Look at what how he has positioned different things and people and activities throughout society, okay? So one of the things that we need to understand today that we can take specifically from our story is that we need to trust in God's plan, even when we don't understand it. I hope and pray that each and every one of us have been in the midst of God's plan and didn't understand it and got through it and then had the opportunity to look back over our shoulder and go, oh, I see what God was doing. You didn't see it when you were in the middle of it. You didn't see it in the midst of what appeared to be crisis. You didn't see it in the midst of what appeared to be things that were falling apart. But then when you get through it and you look back over, you can see God's hand every step of the way in what took place and what went on. The idea for you and I is to trust God out of the gate and not have to get to the point where we get drugged through God's will, kicking and screaming. Where are my drug people out there? You've been drugged through God's will, kicking and screaming, okay? Yeah, because, you know, we're sitting there going, I don't know about this, or I don't like this, and God's sitting there just dragging you. He's going to get you through it. If you have followed him at any level, then you have had to be drugged through God's perfect plan. And then all of a sudden, when you get to where it is, it's that aha moment, and you're like, oh, sorry, God, didn't mean to be so resistant to your plan for my life, for your plan for what was going on, for your plan for my career, for your plan for my relationships, whatever it may be. Too often we get into that situation. But folks, today I want to encourage you, not only during Christmas, but also as we head in to this new year and every day, to trust in God's plan. Trust in every circumstance, in every situation. Because you know what happens? Sometimes they appear to be mundane challenges. But like Mary and Joseph, we may find ourselves a part of a larger divine story that has been crafted by the Master's hand. I've seen that many, many times. I'll tell you, one of the things that I love is being able to be used by him for a greater cause or for a greater purpose. I mean, I can think about times when there was somebody that I had the chance to lead to the Lord, and I've seen them grow in his grace and grow in his strength, and I have seen them become a mighty instrument in the hand of God for the kingdom of God. Now, that's not because of me, but I'll tell you, there are times I sit back and I say, Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of something really so cool that you had planned for that particular person. I mean, I know it's not me. Lord, I know it's you, but thank you for letting me participate. Thank you for letting me be a part of a plan that was greater and bigger than I was. As insignificant as I am, you still smiled upon me and you still used me. So that's one of the things that we need to understand out of our text today, is that God does have a divine plan. He had a divine plan back then. He has a divine plan in your life and in my life, and he has a divine plan for every day. Now, second thing I want us to see out of today's text is simply this, that there was a humble birth of a king. Now, Jesus, the King of Kings, is born not in a palace. You know, for the longest time, everybody had heard of this newborn king. And there were a lot of folks who were under the impression, or I should say delusion, that he was going to be born into royalty, have the best of everything. I know that everybody around here has probably watched something, whether it was a wedding or a funeral or something from over in the old country, over in England, and you see how the kings and the queens and the princes and the princesses are treated and have all the best of everything. Well, there were a lot of folks that thought that was what it meant by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that would be forthcoming. But Jesus was not born in the greatest of atmosphere, as it were. When we consider how he was born, he wasn't born in a palace, but he was born in a lowly manger. And this was an illustration of God's, what I like to call, upside down kingdom, where humility is exalted, where being humble is being lifted up. You know, I've often thought about this. I stood out back a few years ago, and a lot of y'all know that there was I had a major tree, big old tree in my backyard fall a couple years ago. I mean, you couldn't get your arms around that thing. It smacked part of the house. It completely crushed, you know, Blake's state car. And I mean, it fell like all the way across the yard. And I can still remember one day sitting out there and picked up an acorn. I picked it up because I slipped in a pile of them. If you got oak trees around, you'll know how that goes. And I picked up an acorn, and I still remember sitting out there when that tree was laying all the way across the yard, my house and everything else, and I thought, that big old tree came from this little tiny acorn. Not this one in particular, but one like it. You know, that oak tree, that big, gigantic mass that had done all that destruction had come from something so tiny. A small acorn, seemingly insignificant, holds the potential to grow into this mighty, mighty oak tree. Now, Jesus' humble birth is the seed of salvation that grows into a kingdom transforming the whole world, you and I. We're still talking about it today. So you know what we need to do? We need to embrace humility in our lives. Humility is often something that is very elusive in the lives of most people. You know, sometimes what happens is we wind up having more pride than we realize. Have you ever been in a situation and somebody says, well, you know, you're just prideful, and you're like, I am not. And then later on when you evaluated the situation, you thought to yourself and you were like, oh, no. You know what? If I'm being honest with myself, they're right. There is a sense of pride about me. Now, I'm not talking about healthy pride. There are two different kinds of pride. There's a healthy pride. I mean, obviously, I hope that each and every one of us took enough pride in our appearance and those around us that maybe we took a bath either last night or this morning, and you know, we put on a little bit of deodorant so that everybody don't get offended. That's sitting there near us, and that you combed your hair and you brushed your teeth, and yeah, you know, all that I call that a healthy pride. That's something that you do to take care of yourself, but also for other people. But I'm not talking about that kind of pride. I'm talking about, you know, embracing a humility. You see, that's the whole thing. You know, as long as we feel like we're in charge, we're not going to be where God wants us to be. How many times has God said in your life, here's what I want you to do, here's where I want you to go, and we've said, nah, I don't think I want to do that. Nah, don't think I want to do that. Nah, Lord, that's bad for me. I don't think I want to do that. Now, we can sit back and say, well, I have never directly come out and said something like that. Well, actions speak far louder than words, don't they? Think about old Jonah for a minute. God said, I want you to go to that place called Nineveh. Y'all remember that? And he said, uh-huh. Did he go to Nineveh? No. He went, a trick question. Yeah, he eventually got to Nineveh. But when he left, he went in the wrong direction. He went in the opposite direction of Nineveh. And God's like, I guess he's a little bit directionally challenged. I need to help him out. I need to give him a ride back to Nineveh. So think about it. Now, y'all, we know that story. Now, think about what I'm talking about, how God's plan and his divine plan works out. You think it was an accident that Jonah got on a ship going in the wrong direction with a bunch of guys? Do you think it was an accident that a storm came up, bad storm? Do you think it's an accident that the guy, Jonah said, look, it's my fault. Y'all just need to throw me overboard. I'm the one God's mad. And they're like, nah, we can't do that. And then the storm got worse, and they said, you know what? Maybe we can't do that. Yeah, if it's you, all right, sorry, brother, but yeah, we're going to sacrifice the one for the rest of us. Here you go, threw him off, and guess what happened? Everything got calm. I bet them fishermen were going, you know what? That was the right choice we made. And it was. Because at that point, all of a sudden, this great fish, you know, sometimes we call it a whale, swallows him up, gives him a ride back to where he's going, spits him out on a beach, and finally he's heading in the right direction. None of that was by accident, folks. It was all part of God's divine plan, even in the smallest details. So we need to understand that God is even in the smallest details of our lives. It doesn't go unnoticed by him. And we need to humbly accept what God has in store for us. And we need to seek ways that we might be able to serve others, you know, mirroring the humility of Christ that was born in a manger. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was placed in essentially a feed trough. He was wrapped up, you know, in the little swaddling blankets, which, by the way, if you look at that historically, those are grave clothes, cloths and strips. But there's another thing I want us to see out of our text today, and that's that the shepherds received the good news. You see, the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, society's outcast. Did you get that? Society's outcast. And here are these angels announcing the birth of Christ to them. And this is a demonstration of the fact that the gospel is for all of humanity, regardless of status. You don't have to be some social or economic higher in the hierarchy, socially or economically, to reach out to Christ, because he's reaching out to you. Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. And sometimes I think a lot of us are going to be surprised at who all's going to be in heaven. You know what? I always like to say this, particularly when somebody's being hard on somebody else. I said, you better be careful, because they might be your neighbor in heaven. You might get to see them every day of your life. You know, and you talking like that. I said, that may just be the person that's fence butts up against yours in your mansion. That might be the person that God lets you sit next to at the table with him. Hopefully we'll pause and consider that. But yet these, I can imagine what that must have been like. Those shepherds, remember, the lowliest of low. In other words, you didn't want your kid to come up to you and you went to them and said, hey, Junior, what do you want to do when you grow up? You didn't want them to say, ooh, Daddy, I want to be a shepherd. You'd been like, oh, well, wait a minute, yeah, I want to do that. And yet here they were once again out there. They have gotten the sheep together. It was another day just like the previous ones. Night had fallen. They're doing the best they can to try to keep the sheep safe. And then all of a sudden, here's this angel that appears before them. Right, could you picture this in your mind? I think all of us at some point probably have. And this angel announces to them, yeah, he says, don't be afraid. I bring to you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Could you imagine that? I mean, just in the midst of all of the normal, in the midst of probably all of the disappointment of the day, in the midst of all the things that they may have had on their mind, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's this angel. To the essentially the lowest class of people there. Now, you remember last week we talked about the Magi, we talked about the wise men, and we also talked about the fact that it was about 2 years before they got to the Christ child, because they saw him at the house. Yeah, those were the wealthy ones. Those were the ones that had the resources and everything else. They came along 2 years later, but that was part of the journey God sent them on. But no, these shepherds got to be there. They got to go to the stable. They got to be around the manger. They got to see the little Christ child, Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You see, the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the outcast of society. I can't tell you how many times people will come to me and say, well, I'm just not good enough to receive Jesus. You just don't know the things I've done. I said, well, first of all, if you're breathing, you're good enough to receive Jesus. I said, now let me qualify that. None of us are good enough to receive Jesus, but he loved us enough that he wants us. Even you, regardless of what you've done, he still loves you. He still wants you. His son still went to Calvary's cross that you and I might have eternal life. And this is such a demonstration that the gospel is for all of humanity, regardless of your status. We've often said this around here, that the ground around the cross is all level. There's nobody richer, nobody poorer, nobody higher class, nobody lower class. There's nothing when it comes to that, other than the fact of that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Yeah, I often like to think about it like this. Imagine this great banquet intended for royalty. You can imagine what that would be like, how they plan everything. But the first invitations would be sent out to the homeless people. Could you imagine that? See, this is a radical inclusivity. There's another one in 50-cent words I wanted to use. Inclusivity. All of a sudden, this great, great banquet where all the flash and all the pizzazz, but yet the first invitations go out to the homeless. What a radical inclusivity. All are welcome. And by the way, you've heard me say this for the last two decades. All are included, and all means all, and that's all that all means. All, everyone. Let us be instruments of God's peace and goodwill as we share the good news of Jesus to everyone, regardless of their background, regardless of their social standing, regardless of where they may be. Let me tell you this, Jesus is seeking them. That should make each and every one of us feel privileged along the way ourselves, because we in and of ourselves didn't even have what it took to seek Him. He came seeking us. He stood at our heart's door and He knocked. And it was up to us to let Him in or to reject Him. So this Christmas, as we ponder the birth of Jesus, may we truly see the undeniable evidence of God's plan. May we see the humility of His beginning and the inclusivity of His message to each and every one. And when we leave here today, may we do so with our hearts ready to trust Him, ready to serve Him, and ready to proclaim Him as the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. Can we do that? You know what? That's what this season really, really is all about. I know that as I have had an opportunity to talk with folks, this Christmas season seems different. How many of you all would say this Christmas season seems different in some ways? A lot of people have said, well, you know what? It snuck up on us really quick. It's just so many different, and whatever it may be, it's just different. Whether family's not going to be there, whether family has different things that are going on, it's different this year. It just feels so different. It doesn't have to be a bad different. You know, for some of us, I've said before, your family won't be as full around the table this year as it was in previous years. There will be heartache, there will be tears, but you know what? Be thankful and rejoice in the fact of what God has allowed you to do this year as you spend time with your family, because at a moment's notice, we may not be around that table next year all together ever again. Think about the gift of our Savior. You know, it'd be great to sit back and just to hear that announcement. For is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And His plan is in every intricate detail of your life. I've had people who have come back to me before and they're like, I lost my job, I lost all these things, and they felt like life was at rock bottom. And then not long after that, they came back and they said, you know what, now I realized God allowed this to happen in my life for Him to get me where I needed to be, which was a far better place than where I was. Sometimes we have to look back over it and say, Lord, I want to thank You for the unanswered prayers that I have prayed. Have y'all ever done that? How many of y'all have ever done that? You said, ooh, Lord, thank you so much for not answering that prayer. Yeah, I thought this is what I wanted. Now I see that wasn't what was best. And thank You for not answering that prayer the way I wanted You to answer it, but Lord, for answering that prayer in the way You felt best. Folks, why is it that we're just knuckleheads? Wouldn't it be so much easier just to trust in His divine plan from the get-go? It's just difficult for us to do, because sometimes we have to be large and in charge. I pray that this Christmas you will understand God has every minute detail of your life. I trust and pray that we will understand that His salvation is for everyone, not just a select few, but for everyone, and that you and I are to reach out to everyone with the gospel message, not just simply to be comfortable where we are, whether it's the homeless or whether it is the very, very high class. It's interesting that I've had conversations with folks before, and I said, we'll be very quick to go out and witness to a homeless person that doesn't have anything, but we won't be so quick to witness to the richest man in the community in the middle of his mansion while he's out there standing in the yard. Why is that? You know, and I think sometimes we care, we don't care what this guy thinks about us, but we do care what this guy thinks about us. Now, I want you to ponder that for just a minute and ask yourself that honest question. Where would you stand in the middle of that? You know what? Really, it's not about the way either of them feel. It's about the way the Lord feels about each and every one of us. So we need to pray today as we begin to close our time together that the Heavenly Father, we need to thank Him for the gift of Jesus Christ, born in those humble circumstances to be the Savior of the world. And as we leave this place today, we need to understand and carry the message of hope and joy and peace into the lives of those around us and into the community around us. And we need to trust in God's plan, plain and simple. We need to trust in His plan, we need to embrace humility, and we need to share His love with each and every person that we come in contact with. Can we do that this Christmas? Yeah, you know what? Today may be, this week may be a different Christmas, but that may not be a bad thing. It may be a really good thing. I pray that your Christmas will be spent together with those that you love, and I pray that it will also spring forth an opportunity to share that gospel message with each and every person. For is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can we worship Him? You know, I've said so many times, that's the big fancy word for that is incarnation. That's the spiritual word for it. What does that mean? That means God made flesh. That means the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when He was born, He was 100% God. When He was born, He was 100% God as He lived and walked, and He was 100% God when He went to Calvary's cross, and He was 100% God when He resurrected from that tomb. Amen? That was the plan. That little baby is the plan of salvation that provides you and I eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Without Him, there wouldn't be any salvation. There had to be a sacrifice that was worth more than what was being purchased. And guess what? Jesus Christ shed blood, paid that price for every sin, past, present, and future, that we might have eternal life. Can we find ourselves in the shoes of either the shepherds or the magi? You know why? Because both of them got to Jesus. The shepherds early, they said, let's go, man. It's right across town. Let's make it happen. The magi, some of y'all are magi. You've been on a long journey, hadn't you? Where are my magi out there? Oh, the Lord's kicked me around a little bit. All right? Some of you magi have been on a long journey. But keep going, because you're going to see the Christ child. You're going to get there. You're going to be everything He wants you to be when you trust Him. Can we relax this Christmas? Can we just trust in His plan, even though it's not ours? And at least for the moments, be able to say, Lord, this is all about You. The stores are closed. It's quiet. It's still. I'm with my family. Help me reflect upon You. Right now, I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to reflect on your personal walk with Him. I'm asking you if you're saved. Big word. Call it what you want. Saved, born again, whatever you want to call it. Have you trusted Christ? Have you given your life to Him? That babe born in a manger, is He in control? Not, I'm a good person. That doesn't get you to heaven. Not, I go to church. That doesn't get you to heaven. Not, I treat other people kindly. That doesn't get you to heaven. It's a personal walk. It's a personal relationship. Have you said, Lord, I surrender all of I am, my hope, my will, everything. It's all for You now because of what You did for me. Have you done that? If not, then I beg you today to simply ask in prayer the Lord into your heart by saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm on my way to hell right now. But Lord, thank You for Jesus. And thank You for salvation. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. Help me see my eternal destination through You is that place called heaven. Help me, Father, to live a life that will be pleasing to You. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I will promise you that if you did that, that was the introduction. Needs to go far beyond the introduction. You need to get to know Him. We'd love to help you with that. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. Brad, I'm going to ask you and the musicians to go ahead and take your place. Have you trusted Christ? Today, He is in this place. Today, He is speaking to your heart. Today, He has pointed out whether or not you know Him or not. Is He knocking on your heart's door? That's not rubbing off on the person beside you. I heard a guy actually tell me that one time. He said, I felt something in my heart, but I just thought it was coming from the person beside me. They're just such a bad person. I thought that conviction was coming out on me. I was like, okay. No. The Lord's aim is true. He's perfect. Now, let me ask you this question. For those of us who know Christ, have we been living for Him? Have we been everything He wants us to be? Would He be proud if we had to stand before Him today? Would He say, you have been humble. You have sought me. You have served me. You have loved those around you. You have not discriminated against any classifications of people. You have been everything I want you to be. Would He say that to you? Or would there be some things in our heart that we need to get straight and get right with Him today? By the way, the thing I love about repentance and forgiveness is that it truly is thrown as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. When you are forgiven, you are forgiven. By the way, as a side note, don't let Satan continue to hold you down over things that God has already forgiven you of. That's a different message for a different day. But Satan likes to remind us of dumb things like that that we've already been forgiven of. And we go running to God and say, oh, I'm sorry. And He's like, we already talked about this. You were forgiven. Let it go. And Satan will hold us down with that. Ooh, don't let him do that. When you are forgiven, you're forgiven. So what is it that He has put on your heart today? Is it about the perfect plans that He has for you? And sometimes I know God looks at me and goes, oh, man, just follow my plan. Just follow my plan. Sometimes I know that He says, hey, you need to embrace the humility that is being one of my children. It'll pay off in the end. And then He says, are you a mouthpiece for me wherever we go? Wherever you go, whatever is said, whatever is done, do you proclaim my salvation through Jesus Christ? Listen, we're going to stand and sing our invitation hymn in just a moment. If you need me, I'm here. Listen, if you've trusted Christ, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help get you started on the path of spiritual growth. I promise it won't be bad. I can even bring people up here and tell you that discipleship is not what so many people think it is. It's actually a lot of fun if you do it right. So we will let you, we will help get you hooked up with that. Maybe you just need this old altar to drop off some sin because the good Lord sweeps it clean the moment you lay it down there. Whatever you need to do, would you do business with God as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 282, Living for Jesus, as Brad leads us. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, as you continue to do business with God, I pray that your heart is at peace right now. I pray that as you leave this place, you will do so with great joy and great peace that only comes from our Savior, that as it was sung about today, all is well. It is well with your soul. Is it truly well with you? You continue to do business with God as you do. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. As a reminder, we are going to be continuing to take our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions over the next couple of weeks. If you so desire, you can place a gift in an envelope. You can put international missions, or you can put Lottie Moon, whatever. We will make sure it gets there. 100% of what you give goes to keep those missionaries on the field. So let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, again, we're grateful for the provision that you give each and every one of us. Lord, all good and perfect things come from you. Lord, I pray that we would truly be found faithful as we come to that time where we return to you the tithe and the offering. We think about the widow's mite. Lord, we think about the fact that you watched what was taking place and what was going on. And Lord, you saw her faithfulness. Lord, may you see our faithfulness today as we honor you with the tithe and the offering. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just wanted to take a moment before we give you a few announcements of things that are coming up this week to take a moment on behalf of Central Baptist Church to thank some folks. There's a lot of things that go on around this church, not just on Sundays, but on any given day of the week that make things happen. You know, particularly on Sundays, there are a lot of folks that are behind the scenes that do some pretty incredible things so that you and I are able to listen and comfort and do many things. Today, we, on behalf of Central Baptist, want to just show our appreciation to some of those support staff and helpers that we have to do things around here. Back on the soundboard back there, one of our newer guys, Travis Anderson. We want to show our appreciation to you today. Wave, so everybody knows who Travis is. Give him a wave. Got a little something, just a little something I want to hand you. I'll move around, but just a little way to say Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, brother. We appreciate Travis. He's the one that keeps your words and everything up on the screen so that you can see and read along. Now, there are two guys that essentially aren't in this room because they're never in this room. They are always next door in what we call the control room. Because that's where our live broadcast goes out. It's over in the other building, but they monitor audio, video. That's how it gets out on Facebook. That's how it gets out on YouTube. So we want to say a special thank you to Don Wright as well as Wesley Ham, who are over in our control room. So guys, be sure to see me before you leave because I've got something for you. Again, one of those that's kind of behind the scenes doing some different things. One that has done so much for us sound-wise ever since I've been here, and even before that, is our lead sound guy, Mr. Ernie Wall, always in that seat right back there. We appreciate Ernie. And Ernie, we just want to show our appreciation to you as a church as well.
Thank you. With a little
gift on behalf of Central Baptist. And then I'm going to stand up here for just a minute instead of going back there because I got a microphone. Another one that does so much behind the scenes, gives you an opportunity, just like you heard last week through our cantata, a lot of the special things that are around here. Jimmy Kreider is the one who pretty much takes care of all of our brass, our band. He gets the selections, does such a wonderful job of that, never asked anything, and is always a super guy. I've heard from, he doesn't pick the easiest pieces either. He makes you work to serve the Lord. But we're grateful for him. He is sick right now. I'm assuming you're going to see him, Mom. I'm going to go ahead and give you our gift for him, and if you'll give him a hug for us after he gets non-contagious. Okay? There we go. Mama will take care of it. Y'all saw that. I put it in Mama's hand, so you know how that goes. And then the two that you get to see so much up front here at Central that do such a wonderful, wonderful job in creating a worship atmosphere for us. Have been our two what I call anchor musicians on the piano and on the organ. Let me get the piano and organ, get my left and my right together. So we're so glad, and we appreciate Donna Miller so much for years and years and years. Her ministry has been over there. She and David have done ministry together, but their ministries have often been different. David's has been as an associate pastor. David has often done music. He's done senior adults. He does all kinds of different things. But Donna has always been in music ministry, and they've been able to do that together. And we've been able to be blessed for more than two decades here by what Donna's done. So, Donna, thank you so much. On behalf of Central Baptist Church, and then, of course, the one that you just had an opportunity to hear. Vicki does so many different things along the way. She's played with the different groups before, behind the scenes. She's played with our group that Leonard has put together, and like I say, she's always been a joy. You just got a chance to hear her. Even when things have to change, both Vicki and Donna don't have a problem with that. If everything just goes completely haywire and we have to completely change things around before it happens, it's like, no problem. Yeah, they're wonderful about being able to do that. As a matter of fact, today we had a little change. The piece that you just heard Vicki played, I don't think she knew she was going to be playing that until, today, maybe. Yeah, because Jim was sick. The band wasn't able to play today. And she's got it. So we can't thank Vicki enough as well for being one of our anchor musicians, as it were. Thank you so much, darling. We appreciate you. Now, Carol's coming down waving something. So before I finish up, I'll let Carol have the table.
We don't want to leave out our pastoral staff. So on behalf of the personnel committee and the church, we have Christmas gifts and appreciation gifts for our three pastors, David Miller, our associate pastor. Brad McClure, our master of music.
Thank you guys so much. It is our joy and our privilege to have the opportunity to be able to serve here. Like I say, that's through the good days and the bad days. We have laughed together. We have cried together. We have gone through some tough times together, as well as some of the good mountaintop times. Let me just give you a couple of things, and then I'm going to get you out of here. I do have something I want to read to you, but David will close us out in prayer. Just as a reminder, first of all, I want to share the birthdays that we have. Today, our own Tim Wharf back there, it's Tim's birthday today. If you get a chance, be sure to wish him a happy birthday. Tomorrow, on Monday, it will be Leonard Stafford's birthday. So be sure to wish Mr. Leonard a happy birthday. And then on Saturday, Nancy Young has a birthday coming up. So be sure to let these folks know how much you love them and appreciate them. As far as anniversaries this week, Joy and Jeff Pickard will be celebrating an anniversary this week. If you have an opportunity, be sure to let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. A couple things for the week. We won't have any evening activities today. I'm assuming that's choir as well as brass. So no activities as we head in to our Christmas break time. I do want to remind folks that the office will be closed on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, we will be having our Christmas Eve communion. That will be on, of all things, Christmas Eve. Yes, I know it's Christmas Eve. That's why we call it Christmas Eve communion. We will do that at two different times. You don't have to come to both of them, but either at 6 or at 6:30. And like I said, you're not going to hear me preach or anything. It is a time for us just to come together, and what we do is we do a communion service. You will be here 5, maybe 10 minutes tops, but it's a reminder of why we celebrate the Christmas season. In the midst of the push and shove, if you have family that have come in from out of town and they say, I didn't bring a thing to wear to church. If they've got clothes on, they brought a thing to wear. You bring them on down here. That's not what it's about. And you're only going to be there for about 10 minutes. But that's us honoring the reason why we celebrate the Christmas season, okay? So at 6 o'clock or 6:30 on Christmas Eve, right here in the sanctuary, David and I usually are the ones that do the service. That gives us an opportunity as your pastoral staff to serve you, and it gives our deacons an opportunity to be able to be with their families during this time as well. So we look forward to that on Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock, or 6:30. If you want to stay for both, hey, you can. We're not going to throw you out or anything, but we're just going to be glad to see you. So come on by. Just a couple things that we have going on. Ladies, coming up, ladies, in January. January the 8th is going to be the Ladies Connections monthly meeting at 6 o'clock p.m. Over in the FLC. Then on the 15th will be the Ladies Monthly Breakfast at Cagney's at 9 a.m., and the only other thing we've got is we're telling you to keep our Cuba Cuba 2025 in your thoughts and prayers. That's our dates, February 28th through March the 7th, as we prepare for that. So, as always, there's each new day brings its own surprises, and so does each new trip to Cuba. So, lots going on over there right now. I received a card this morning from Roger and Don Reed that I want to read to you. And by the way, it has come to my attention that Roger is in the hospital. Is that correct? Yes, Roger is in the hospital dealing with some fluid buildup once again. So let's keep Roger and Don Reed both in your prayers. But they've sent this card. I wanted to share it with you. It says, Central Baptist Church family, we would like to take this time to thank you for all of your support during our time of need. You have provided so much for us with the access ramp, transportation, food, visits, and your prayers. All of you are very special to us. We love and appreciate you and pray heaven's blessings on each of you. The card basically says, there are people in our lives who are genuinely kind-hearted. Appreciating them just comes naturally. Thank you. So this is from Roger and Don Ree, and we want to keep them in our prayers as they continue to have a tough time day by day. Keep Roger in your prayers as he's in the in the hospital right now, as well as those, for those, a lot of folks, it's going to be a tough week. Those who've lost loved ones, those whose tables are going to be less full than they were before. But let's make it a good year as we celebrate the true meaning of why we celebrate this time of Christmas. Now, I'm sure that there are a ton of things that I have left out and that I have forgotten. So if it is, I'm either sorry or David will correct me on them or fix it in just a second. But I'm going to ask David, Pastor David, if he would come up and see us off in a word of prayer and straighten any crooked path that I may have created.
Mindful of, many of you know that Diane was scheduled for bile duct surgery the day after Christmas. She currently has a bad infection and a fever that could jeopardize that. I want you to pray for her that God will give doctors wisdom and medicine will work and she'll get that infection cleared up and be able to have her scheduled surgery right on time. One thing that many of you may or may not know, if you were in Sunday school this morning, you know, but if you weren't, you will not know this. Our last senior adult event of the year will be next Sunday afternoon, hopefully at 3:30. We're going to try to book an opportunity for our seniors to go to a Christian Christmas movie at 3:30 next Sunday afternoon. And that'll be free to you. I have a sign-up sheet in the foyer if you would sign up so we will know how many people are interested in doing that. We'll work out the details, and I'll try to get in touch with you personally this week. It's a great movie. Dawn and I have seen it, and it'll be our last senior adult event of the year. So get involved with that and come and fellowship with us and see a great Christmas movie after Christmas. You can make Christmas last another week longer. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Father, we just thank you so much for this season of the year when we get to celebrate all that Jesus has done for us. Father, we pray for Roger. We pray for Diane. Lord, that you would minister to their needs and pray that Roger will be back home with his family and that Diane will be able to have her surgery as scheduled, that you'll be with her during that surgical procedure and you'll work the miracles that only you can do. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being the family of God. Bless us during this Christmas season, Lord, with your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.